Irish NFL Show. My name is Shane Brennan, and thank you very much for joining us today. And I'm glad to reconnect to a friend of mine who I met in Frankfurt whilst watching the Patriots get pretty much hammered by the Indianapolis Colts a few months ago. Freddie Lowe from the Franchise Tag Podcast and massive Steelers fan. Thank you very much for taking the time to join us. How are you coping in the off season? Is the loss of red zone still hitting hard?
I mean, thank you for having me on, Shane. But yeah, we're trying to keep sort of the traditions that we do on Sunday night still. So I'm a quite avid cook. So I usually cook all the time. But on Sundays, we always have my pizza or takeaway. So we're still doing that. We're just replacing the sport with a movie instead. But, still watching a bit of the regular football. My team, Aston Villa, are doing well. So that's always enjoyable. And obviously, now we're creeping into the free agency period. And I think I can believe of a lot of other people, but this part of the season is just as exciting for me as in season. So, and a lot of obviously draft prep as well coming up. The combines just happened. That was really cool watching that on TV. Obviously, massive coup for you guys in Ireland with the Irish contingency there for kicker and punter. You guys must have been watching loads of that as well.
Yeah, it was actually quite a frenzy during the week because we thought that the NFL network would be showing it, but then we all had to. Conor Mangan, who was over there, was kind of putting it all on Instagram. There was like 7,000 people watching it, and at some point it was kind of funny because there were people being like, "Is that the Tottenham Stadium? That can't be in America. There's no way that's in America." You had to explain to them, "Oh no, that's in Indianapolis. They're at the actual combine, guys." And but look, yeah, it's I think for a lot of reasons on this side of the Atlantic, it's a golden era for American football. And of course, it's not just Irish guys; it's plenty of English and. Or British people, I should say, who are in the International Pathway Program. And look, I think we're all looking forward to how things grow. And I'm sure we'll get on to talking about the London games later. But I want to try and focus in on the Steelers a little bit because it's one of the big questions around this current sort of free agency period as to what the Steelers are going to do with the quarterback situation. One thing I'm not quite fully understanding is why the Steelers are just so happy with Kenny Pickett. There isn't even, all the media guys say that it's effectively a no-brainer. They should try to go for a Russell Wilson-type character. The Steelers aren't biting it. So explain to me why the Steelers are backing Kenny Pickett so much.
Well, I think firstly, we can't believe everything really in the media because there is so much red herrings that are out there at the minute, given its free agency and draft season. And a lot of teams are definitely holding the cards really close to their chest. So there has been initial reports that we're happy with Pickett. I think... After what we saw in the latter half of the season last season, you can't say that's with absolute certainty or any guarantee that that is the case. As an organization, we are hopelessly loyal to a fault, and sometimes it can really bite us back. I mean, we've only had three head coaches since the 60s, and it's been very consistent, really, with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they like that, and you know they're a blue collar, blue chip franchise that wants to progress people and wants to and has faith in their coaches, their staff, their players, team as well. So I can understand that maybe at this point in time it feels like we will be sticking with him because of this hopeless loyalty that we seem to have to. Maybe some players with all coaches but don't completely deserve it. I mean, Matt Canada is out the door now, but he stayed a lot longer than his tenure should have had. That, you know, and it's not always been easy riding with Mike Tomlin either. I know everyone hangs their hat on the whole, never a losing season sort of thing, but he has been pressured a bit. The pressure's been alleviated because we've been poor on the offensive side and still had winning seasons. That is because of the quarterback. I still maintain the same thing that I said when it happened. When we drafted Pat Freiermuth in the second round, I said that should have been a Jalen Hurts spot. We should have taken him now. I am not saying we would have had the Jalen Hurts that we have had in Philadelphia. I'm not saying we would have progressed him in the correct way. But my problem was always that Big Ben was coming to the end of his tenure and we never had Plan B. We never thought about Plan B. What's next? And we left it too late. And we got pressured into a situation where we picked Kenny Pickett in a draft where it wasn't quarterback heavy. It was a lot of rumors that quarterbacks wouldn't even go in the first round. And we took Pickett at the back end of the draft. And we paid the price for it. You know, we tried to smear over the cracks with people like Mason Rudolph and Mitch Trubisky. He's now gone and joined the Buffalo Bills to go and back up Josh Allen. I can I told you it's the end of the season just gone when Mason Rudolph came in. Yeah, he probably was the best quarterback we had last season, but it's not a sustained thing. He's not going to be a starter for Pittsburgh. So Kenny Pickett, it's a head scratcher. It's a loyalty thing, I think, but also as well, it's hoping for a cream rise to the top situation. I put a lot of emphasis and onus on Pickett at the start of last season, but now is his time to shine, and he just really, really didn't in the 2023 season.
Yeah, it's like I find it difficult. I understand the whole we have to give time for a young quarterback to develop, and I think he is a talent who has potential. And you know, there are 32 franchise quarterbacks out there, so not everybody can, you know, be out there with their pitchforks crying out for a Patrick Mahomes or a Josh Allen or a Joe Burrow. It's, you know, it's a difficult situation, but I think where the Steelers find themselves in is, I don't know whether they're afraid of creating a quarterback controversy if they go for a Justin Fields or a Russell Wilson type character and still keep Kenny Pickett on the roster as a backup. So, you know, in terms of what you want to see happen as a Steelers fan, do you want it to stick with the loyalty, or do you want to try and go for just one of these free agents that are flying around and you can probably get at a reasonable price?
Well, firstly, I'd say I think a little bit of the idea of keeping Pickett in is it is very clear and it's been evident you can win very, very well and a lot of games and get very far in the NFL being competent. If you are competent, I mean, game manager is used as a negative a lot of the time, but I don't think it should be. I think it's a massive quality having a game manager. But there has been a lot of quarterbacks who are just serviceable quarterbacks that have gone to the Super Bowl and gone to the championship in the last few years. I mean, people can argue Brock Purdy at the minute. I'm not so much in that camp. I think he has got talent, but Jimmy Garoppolo going to the Super Bowl with the 49ers as well. There is Jared Goff this year with the Lions. I mean, no one would say he's the most exceedingly talented quarterback in the world. So I think there is that sort of hope for if we can at least get someone who is serviceable out of Kenny Pickett, then we still have a shot. Well, we still have a shot. The problem is with serviceable is, I think, an age, you have to have experience. You know, your talent doesn't... You have improvement of talent, but it sort of maintains, but you have experience of reading the game, whereas Pickett has not got that experience of reading the game to be able to be called a serviceable quarterback that could take you the distance. For me, I would love to go and get Justin Fields for the age factor. I think he's so dynamic, and obviously the biggest thing is rumor is that we're going to go for Russell Wilson. I think Fields is just Wilson but younger. They both have their advantages. They both got cannon of arm. With the mobility is fantastic by both of them. Fields being better really due to being younger and a bit more athletic. But I really think it will go the route of Russell Wilson. And I have to say, if you told me that 4 years ago, 5 years ago, I'd be jumping for joy, because Russell Wilson was my favorite player that wasn't a Steeler in the league. I've always loved Russell Wilson. He was sort of the first polarizing quarterback that I noticed when I started watching the NFL. Though the Legion of Boom attracted everybody to watch the Seahawks, it was also, I think, Russell got very undercut there and didn't really get appreciated. That's why I've always really enjoyed him. He had a really bad time in Denver. I don't think it's necessarily all his fault. He got given Nathaniel Hackett, who was a poor head coach, an OC that people believe really was just holding the OC card to let Aaron Rodgers run the offense, really. So he had a bad start there. And then you get Sean Payton in, and I think Sean Payton had his own ideas. And unfortunately, in the media now, it's been put out that Russell's got a massive ego. He's a problem player, I suppose. And that was never the character, the personality we got in Seattle. So I don't know what's changed there. I think if you want to put that in there with his experience, with his talent, and also with the things that are now coming out a bit about him, I think Pittsburgh is the perfect franchise to go. You have a coach that is a player-led coach. He believes in his players, and he is very flexible with them as well. I mean, you've named a few players that we've had in the Steelers organization who have not worked out elsewhere because of their personality. You know, Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell are just two players that didn't really work out anywhere else, did they? So I think it'd be a perfect organization for him to go in. It seems like he plays better behind a weak O-line, and our O-line is not that great, but we also have some really good weapons as well. And weapons that I think are very similar to his prime in Seattle. You know, with Doug Baldwin and Tyler Lockett, that is very similar with Deontay Johnson and George Pickens. That they're the same sort of archetypes of players. He's going to have a better tight end than he ever had in Seattle, really, in Pat Freiermuth. And he's going to have a defense that is not maybe reaching a boom standard, I suppose, but is consistent every year and you can rely on them completely. Even when there have been injuries to players like TJ Watt, our defense has still gone strong. I know the stats don't really say that in terms of what being off field now wins, but we've still looked good. I think that's more of an offense thing, but our offense hasn't been able to get going. So, I mean, the long and short of it, Sean, is, yeah, Russell Wilson comes tomorrow, I'm going to be pretty, pretty pleased. But I would love Fields just for the age factor. But the experience of Russell Wilson and what he can bring to the table is incomparable with everyone that's on the market. And, the one player we've not actually mentioned is Kirk Cousins. That is another player that could be on the market.
I know a lot of talk is that he's effectively, he's signed, seen, delivered to Atlanta, but I'm not 100% sure on that just yet. But you were mentioning about Russell Wilson for a while. I think Rich Eisen pointed out a couple of days ago that, you know, he's a Walter Payton Man of the Year. So this whole thing that Russell Wilson is a bad character to have inside the dressing room is new. Like, as you mentioned, it's a new phenomenon that came out of Denver. He wasn't always like this. He's the only NFL player in history to have 40,000 passing yards and 5,000 rushing yards. You know, an incredible dual talent. Like you said, one of the innovators of that kind of dual talent in the early 2000s or early 2010s, I should say.
Sure.
You know, and I think that there's still something in him. And if I were the Steelers, and look, I know the Steelers are the kind of organization that, you know, values loyalty and brings people up. There is a Steelers way, which doesn't really align with the idea of going for short-term quarterbacks in the way that, for example, the Jets have gone with Aaron Rodgers. Like, if I were the Steelers, I'd keep Kenny Pickett on there, but say, hey, here's Russell Wilson. Here is someone who is quite close to Hall of Fame. Learn from him for a season at least. We're only paying for, like, what was it, $1.21 million, $1.6 million, whatever it is. You know, if, like, not quite free, but effectively free. But I give him a season with the ball. Kenny, you learn what you can do to him. Try to unlock. Give an extra year for you to develop behind him. Let Russell Wilson try to prove to the league that he hasn't lost a step that everyone perceives that he's lost in Denver. And let Russell try to be a very competitive player in a division where you have Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, and whoever the Browns decide to start a quarterback. But the Browns are a very good team all around. So look, I agree with you. I mean, you know, I think Justin Fields is a fantastic player. I think from Justin Fields' point of view, he's better off going somewhere else. Maybe the Patriots. I'm not quite sure about that just yet. I totally agree with you. I think Russell Wilson is worth the risk, considering that you're not really giving up much. You don't need to trade. How many draft picks did Denver give up?
Yeah.
50 million? Like, you don't
need to do... And three players. And like, what we've got as well is, he comes to the Steelers, he is going to have a huge chip on his shoulder. He is going to be like Mr. Prove It, you know, let Russ cook, but let's prove it, Russ, sort of thing. He's going to want to go there and just dominate, because he's going to want to point the finger at Denver and go, no, you did wrong by me, I didn't do wrong by you. I don't know. My only worry is, I don't exactly see our offensive coaching unit being any better than what they had in Denver. Maybe Denver's even better. You know, I think Arthur Smith has been a proven OC with the Titans. Do we have Derrick Henry though? Najee Harris and Jalen Warren is a good duo. I mean, he made Ryan Tannehill look good. So, and I'd always have put Russell Wilson ahead of Tannehill every day of the week. So yeah, I think it's a prove it moment, isn't it? If Russell comes in, and like I said, if you sit Pickett behind him, I would hope that he does learn something. But the problem is you then run that money, you run them years down on that, you know, that contract, which is a problem as well. And again, you said, like, it's effectively, I mean, how cheap is this? It's so crazy cheap. For a player that is a higher tier quarterback in this league still. He was up there in touchdowns with Lamar and Holmes.
Yes. Well, yeah, I think it's worth the risk, because it's a very low risk factor. But the only thing is, though, like, you know, I think Russell will probably want to be somewhere where he's not looking over his shoulder, but there isn't that really that spot in the league for him to be in. You know, as long as Kenny Pickett is on the roster, he'll be looking over his shoulder. So I don't know how much Russ will enjoy that. But anyway, I think we'll move on from the quarterback. And I just want to, you mentioned there we're heading into draft season. We're in free agency season. It's, you know, your podcast is the Franchise Tag, and it was Franchise Tag week almost. The week just gone. Do you have a wish list as to what you want the Steelers to go out and get? If I'm right in saying they're picking 20th, or at the moment they're picking 20th overall in the first round. I don't know from the Steelers' point of view what the other rounds look like, but are there any positions in particular that you think that the Steelers could need, could use a young up-and-coming talent?
I still think our O-line needs work. Our O-line still needs massive work. Whether we go out in free agency and fill some of them holes, I don't know. This offensive line class this year isn't bad. I would say there's quite a good top half, and but there's still some good players down the board. Obviously, this draft class is loaded with wide receivers. I wouldn't want to go that route personally. I'm quite content with what we've got. And then also, I think maybe need to start looking towards the future on that defensive line, with Cam Haywood and Larry Ogunjobi, you know, pushing it up in them years. We've got a few guys there already who are young and seem pretty decent, but I don't, if you do the Philadelphia way, like they've done, they just stack and stack and stack. I think that's a good thing for us to do. And also looking at strengthening the cornerback position as well. I'm not sure how many of them guys we will retain. And I'd like to go in the later rounds maybe for a linebacker, or at least strengthen that in front. I think we're more maybe strengthen the free agency with linebacker because we were just so injury ridden last year. We've got some good players like Cole Holcomb, but they were just injured and it just got depleted really quickly. But I think adding another corner, it's been the same thing I've been thinking for 4 years of the season. It's O-line and corner. We did that last year. Very successfully getting in Jones and Porter. I don't think it wouldn't make any Steelers unhappy for us to go back to that, I think, and double dip again on both of them positions and just keep strengthening
there. And just, I guess, before we move on from Steelers talk, I just want to focus in a little bit on Mike Tomlin, because there was this whole thing after the playoff loss against the Bills where he did the whole walk-off thing when people started asking about his future, which was, you know, I guess, maybe he handled it actually quite well. He pretty much just blanked him and said, you know what, I'm not talking about that. I'm not even going to entertain that. I'm not even going to give people an inch of what I'm thinking. You know, like I said, he's been the Steelers coach since sometime in the 2000s, I believe. I can't remember exactly how long. Yeah, the Steelers are the type of team to move on. Tomlin has always found a way to get a winning season out of his squad, even though he's in an incredibly tough division in the AFC North. But is there going to be a point where Tomlin seems going to start feeling a bit hot? Is there ever a moment where the Steelers might think of you know, jettisoning him? If let's say, for example, the Steelers go 7-10 rather than 10-7, or is Tomlin the kind of guy who would leave before he gets kicked if things go wrong this season?
I think it's a little bit like the situation with Belichick in New England. I never thought you would see the headlines, Bill fired by the Patriots. It would be Kraft would take him into his office. He'd say, look, you're retiring. We're not going to sack you. We're not going to publicly do that, but you're going to either retire or leave on your own. Like, we're not going to push you. You know, we're not going to be the ones to push out the door because this ride's been great, but it's now ending. I think the exact same thing would happen with Tomlin. I don't think it'd be we're firing Tomlin. I think it'd be sit in a room and say, you know, you go out on your own terms. You've done so much for this franchise, like the Patriots did for Belichick. I mean, that's the right thing to do when a guy's been that tenured. And though people may not believe it, though we've had winning seasons and it yet did not look great, there has always still been progression and a bit of an idea and a plan of where we're going. I mean, our defense has been great for the longest time now. That has been the one factor. But we've always sort of progressed with our offense as well. We've always drafted late receivers and they've really flourished. And we still do things very well. I think it's when they're just this massive halt in progression. There's just a massive halt. Like, you can say what you want, but taking Kenny Pickett in that draft was a risk. But it could have been a risk that had really worked out. And it was the time to move on to a younger quarterback. And, you know, he went to Pittsburgh and Pittsburgh College, and I can still see why they did it. Like, it's not like I'm against that they did do it. I can see why. And I think it's when suddenly everything just seems so dismal, and then there's losing seasons, but then it becomes an out-of-door factor. And again, I hate to do this to Shane, but it's the Patriot thing as well, isn't it? You know, you would have never got rid of of Bill Belichick, but in the last 3 years, the drafts have been terrible. There's been no progression. That the players you've brought in have really not, you know, risen to the top either. You spent quite a good bit of money one off season, didn't you? And none of that really worked out. It's when things like that start to happen, and you start to seem like maybe you're losing your grip on it, I suppose. But that then may be the case for him to go. I think he really needs to. Tomlin really needs to get something going with this offensive team. If Arthur Smith, I mean, Arthur Smith's been ridiculed, and I wasn't exactly the happiest of getting him in, but he is a proven OC, and this might do absolute wonders. But it needs at least an identity. If this happens and the offense still regresses or stays the same, I think then Tomlin gets it becomes a little bit more in trouble with Tomlin. But at least if we're in the same position, but at least we have an identity on offense, and you can see what we're trying to do, then I'm okay with it. Like, I wouldn't mind just not having a great season again, as long as I can see, like, we're just, you know, maybe a couple of alignment, a couple of players away from creating the vision that this offense is. The problem has been, in the last few years under Matt Canada, it's been visionless, and that's why the time leaving or getting sacked thing has got a bit more real, I suppose.
Yeah, like the Steelers on offense, like I watched a couple of Steelers games last year, and it was just like, it was pretty turgid stuff. I mean, it was rotten. Like, it was just,
so,
you know, you try to run the ball, you maybe get 2 yards, you give the ball to Kenny Pickett, you play a lateral pass, and he gets, oh, I don't know, 3 yards. There was no ambition. That I think you touched on a great point there. I think what the Steelers need to do now is, whatever they do in offense, no matter what players they have and what kind of group they have, I think they need to start showing some ambition in a league where ambition is more and more being rewarded. And we see that with, like, how the offense of the likes of the Bills, the Dolphins, particularly the AFC side, I think, Bills, Dolphins, Ravens, Bengals, you know, you look at the teams that are being ambitious on offense. They're the teams that are getting somewhere. And, you know, and like that, that's one thing the Patriots fail on as well. And Bill Belichick's last year, as you mentioned, is the fact that there wasn't much ambition in terms of player recruitment or play style. And Steelers had the same problem.
Ambition will be rewarded as well. Look at Dan Campbell in Detroit. That is ambition being rewarded. You know, he has said, this is how we're going to play. He's got two very good coordinators immediately, but this is how we're going to play. It's going to take a moment for us to get the personnel in and to wind this out for us to then form that identity. And he's been that, and that's paid off from in the shed loads. So, yeah, I completely agree with you, Shane.
I'm going to move on now to looking at the international games. We know that in the UK, we have 3 games. So the Jags will do what they usually do. They'll host a game in Wembley. We're going to have the Chicago Bears and the Minnesota Vikings playing in Tottenham. And we're going to have the Carolina Panthers playing in Munich this time, not Frankfurt. Just from your point of view, obviously, as somebody who, what I'm saying, is based in London, do you have a wish list as to what you want to see? And before I say that, I'm going to throw something at you. Brian in our show has theorized that after the Jags going, you know, playing 2 games in London last year, that what the NFL are going to do now, especially now that there are 2 NFC North teams playing in Tottenham, that, you know, one of those games is going to be like a Bears home game, and then the Bears are going to be the away team against the Vikings the week after. Do you think that that's something that the NFL could try? And if not, what would you like to see in the London games?
It could certainly work. My hesitation would be, how would the Bears feel about throwing their rookie quarterback into 2 effective road games?
It's definitely going to be Caleb Williams then, is that it?
I mean, Ryan's on the wall, but Caleb Williams is going to be their quarterback. You know, they've got number one pick and they're going to take it. It's if the Bears want to do it in a way. I mean, the NFL can't force anyone to do it, really. There's expectation that you do it, but, you know, it's when your time comes. I think it's a brilliant theory. I absolutely think that is a really good theory. And it would. The only other thing is, the problem now is all 32 teams have played here. So it's not so easy to predict anymore what's going to happen. Like, I would say, well, they're not going to do an NFC North. They're not going to do such a big game in the NFC North, like because then the Packers did that against the Giants within a big NFC game only 2 years ago. So would they do a divisional game? Do the Vikings want to lose a divisional game at home, at our actual home at the Bank? It's not US Bank Stadium. That's the Ravens. I can't remember what the Vikings Stadium's called. So it's a very good theory. I just don't know whether the NFL and the Bears would want a rookie quarterback doing two effective out-of-country games and then having a big rivalry in the NFC North played in Tottenham. I don't know how the Vikings would feel about it. I think the Bears wouldn't mind that at all. I don't think the Bears would mind that game, but I don't know if the Vikings would. It's when when you get to the end of the season, you're not doing so well in your division, you point at them sort of games and go, well, if that was at home, we would have won it. Because atmosphere would have pulled us forward, I don't know. But yeah, so it's a good theory. In terms of my wish list, I mean, I'm very, very fortunate. I live a 25-minute bus journey from Tottenham just that way as I look out the window. So it's nice for me having a Tottenham because feasible vehicle. You can walk it if you really want to do it. So I think the games here have been pretty decent. I think we had a bit of a lull of not getting the greatest games, and I think that's now slowly turning a little bit as quote unquote poorer teams are improving. For every big game we've had a Jets Falcons, and it wasn't exactly a barn race, So I'm just hoping for really competitive games for all three games. Just seeing some of these rookies, seeing some of these big players really pop off. It'd be really cool to see DJ Moore, Justin Jefferson, have really, really great days here, over 100 yard, 150 yard games, a couple of touchdowns. Seeing that would be pretty cool. And continuing the sport for the Jags as well. Obviously, I'd love the Steelers to come over, but I very much submitted to the fact that I think the Steelers will debut in Europe again in Ireland.
Yep.
Maybe next year or the year after, maybe.
We'll get our green terrible towels ready for that. Listen, Freddie Hall, thank you very much for taking the time out to join us. And sure, look, if the Steelers do end up coming to Dublin, I'm sure we'll be doing live shows in Croke Park in front of, Russell Wilson, Kenny Pickett. God knows who the quarterback will be then, whoever they decide.
Yeah, we'll have to wait for that. I mean, it'll be a strange image of Kenny Pickett and Russell Wilson in Ireland together celebrating with the Steelers. Well, maybe Steelers win, maybe. But one day, one can hope, I'm sure. And you guys deserve it. You guys deserve a game. Your support over there is so fantastic as well. And as the NFL has grown throughout Europe, I think it's an absolute no-brainer now to throw somewhere like Ireland to host a game. So, yeah, I very much look forward to the trip.
Yes, and I'm looking forward to the trip to London, as I'm sure I'll see you again at some point. Freddie, thanks very much for taking the time out to join us.
Thank you again, Joe.